think we must quickly pray just to clear our minds. Okay. Father, thank you that we can be here today, God. Thank you for the joy and the privilege to be together and to speak about things that are on your heart for us, Lord. Father, we pray that as you are really blessing this morning, that you will bless the rest of the day. And Father, we pray that we will know your presence, especially towards the end of the day when we pray for each other. God, that you will come to each one of us individually, to each couple, God, and just reveal yourself to us, Lord. And that we will really experience having an encounter with you today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay. Now, I just told Anton I cannot match what he did here this morning. It's going to be quite a challenge. And I also need to tell you, generally he's quite serious and focused and not very funny. This thing happens when he gets the microphone. At home, it's not like that. Not introvert. Preserved would be good, I guess. Okay. So it was interesting to notice that Anton had to, his first session was naked and not ashamed, but then his second session was, what we are aiming at this morning is to tell you, for the men to tell the women what they feel the women need to know without necessarily being able to really tell their wives in a way that we could do it on a public stage. And then my responsibility now is to tell the men what I think women, their wives, would want to tell them, but not necessarily always knowing how or, you know, not being able to really verbalize it. So the only thing that Anton covered was sex. When he spoke about the man's needs. So I think we can safely say there's only one need there. Because there was nothing else. I'm not going to only speak about that. Just a little bit. So I'm bringing some balance here. I think the men were very happy with the sessions this morning. And I think they were all in agreement that Anton covered what was necessary to cover. But being a lady, I know that you ladies will be happy if we speak about other things as well. We are wired a little bit differently. And then at the end, at the last sessions, we are going our separate ways, men and women. And then we might get back to this topic in a different kind of way. I love only having the ladies. I can say whatever I really want to say. Okay, so what I'm going to speak on now, I have 40 minutes to cover the basics of what I think wives would want their husbands to know. And I think sometimes we don't even know ourselves. We are just a little bit confused sometimes. Is that right? You know, you cry and your husband says, "Why are you crying?" Because all they want is logical reason. Why are you crying? And you honestly do not know. All you know is that you feel suicidal. So then you say, "I want to end it all. I want to kill myself." And your husband is like, "Man, she really is, really, she's crazy." Because we can, one day we feel great, you know, the world is, everything is perfect, and then the next day we don't want to be alive anymore. So maybe even for the ladies, as I identify, and I really had to think hard through all of my own confusion, as I try to identify what it is that we need, maybe the ladies will also say, "Wow, yeah, that could be it in words. If we could word it, then that might be it." So may I ask the men, because this session is for the men actually, will you open your ears this morning? Will you do that? Okay, just please listen. Because I learned from experience, when speaking to men about marriage and not speaking about sex, they tend to shut down and not really listen. So my request is please listen, especially when we are not speaking about sexual intimacy, because there's a couple of things we probably really want you to know. Let's start. I want to read to you that terrible, terrible scripture, Genesis 3, verse 16. Okay, who here have children? I know only Kuba, and okay, there's another couple. Okay, so I said to Sonika, do the people that we are going to speak to, do they have children or not? Because it changes everything. It really, everything changes. So I have to aim now at sort of most of us not having children, and then some of us do have children. So, but anyway, Genesis 3 verse 16, when they ate that stupid apple or whatever the fruit was, and everything went wrong from that moment onwards. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children. Who of you experienced bringing forth a baby, having a little bit of pain? Okay, those of us who did. I've been there, done that. And your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And, you know, to me, once I read the scripture, I attempted to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Every time when I get to Leviticus, every single time, then I give up. So this was one of my, another attempting to start the Genesis 1, and I never went further than Leviticus. But anyway, I was reading this scripture, and suddenly I had a revelation. You know when you read something in scripture and suddenly you realize you know exactly what it means, and you never did, and now suddenly you do. It's a good feeling. And I read this that says, your desire shall be for your husband. And in other translations it says, which is actually I think better, you will yearn after your husband. And that was spoken over the woman after they have sinned. Okay, God said it will be difficult to bring a baby into this world because the baby is that big and the little place where it has to go out from is that small. but then he said, more than that, you will yearn. And the Afrikaans says, jy sal hunker na jou man. And when I read this, I really realized, wow, this is real. And something that I have realized is that as women, there's something within us. And God spoke this that was the curse for the sin that they committed. But I really believe when Jesus came and he died and he gave his own life, there was a lot of redemption taking place in every single area. And I really believe that God, that thing within us that I'm going to speak about now, actually is a blessing, because that is what forces us women to look towards God. Now, men, every wife, and I know this because I speak to women and I ask them, and I've been speaking on this quite a bit, every single wife has something within her that is yearning after her husband. And another way to explain that is she wants to please her husband. Do you agree with me, ladies? Do you understand what I'm speaking about? It is a very deep place that and we have no control over it, really, because this was just this is God decided on this, and there's no way of not having that anymore. You know when a lady bumps a car, especially if it's her husband's car. I rolled Sonika's car. I reversed into trees and other cars, I don't know, maybe 8 times. I'm much more careful. Last thing was a tree about a year ago. And Anton is not even angry anymore. He just says, oh, well, found the versekering. But you know, whenever we this is what I used to experience when we had a brand new Quantum in our church in Potchefstroom. The church bought a brand new Quantum, and then I drove into a pole with it. Like, it was damaged. I don't know. Like, the whole side was smashed in. It was terrible. I wanted to really make an end to everything that day because I could not face telling the men what I did.
One, two. No, I think she accidentally pressed the wrong button.
When I do something and I have a sense that my husband is not pleased with me, it really is difficult for me. Really. Whether I bump the car, damage the car, or whether I don't look the way that I think he wants me to look, or whether I don't act the way that I think would be pleasing unto him, there is this deep thing within us where we desperately want to please our husbands. And what I find, and I found this in my own marriage, and I see it with many other marriages, we really have to grow in this thing where the men can get to the point where they understand this. And men, I want to encourage you. Let me read the next scripture. Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. There's another scripture that says, there's the same version, in some other versions it says, love your wives and dwell with them with understanding. Now my question is, why would God tell men to dwell with their wives with understanding? Because it might be necessary to tell them. Because it does not come naturally to them. Have you noticed that, wives? Sometimes, from time to time. That is why, and this is amazing to me, that the word says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. Because there's something that we must understand here. When you marry that woman, you marry something extremely vulnerable. Women are extremely vulnerable. And trust me on this, the moment when you have a baby, it is times a zillion. Okay? A baby, it does something to us. I remember when I had my first baby, I could always sort of do movies, age restriction 16. You know, I could sort of do that. When the moment I had my first child, and it's 9 years ago and it's still the same, I cannot do any age restriction. If it says age restriction 12, I can't watch it. It's too much for me. I can only do all ages, maybe parental guidance, because something in me just broke. I don't know how to explain this. And if you haven't had a child yet, just trust me on this one. And men, this lady that you have in your arms and in your house and surrounding you, she's extremely vulnerable. And this goes for all of us. I can assure you, Helen Ziller and Joyce Meyer and the late Margaret Thatcher and Hillary Clinton are all the same way when it comes to their husbands. I haven't asked them. Maybe you can if you ever get that opportunity. But there's something within us, in every wife, and some of us hide it, some of us will suppress it, some of us will not show it, some of us will be very open about it, but it's difficult for us to explain it or to put it in words or to verbalize it to you. So just make that decision where the word says, love your wife and dwell with her with understanding. Just make that decision to be kind and loving and gentle. In other words, he says, lay down your life for her as Christ has laid down his life for the church. That does not mean you have to physically die for her. If the opportunity arises, please do so. But might not arise. But, you know, actually for some men, it's easier to die physically than to lay down their lives on a daily basis. And the whole idea that some men have, that I can rule and I can reign, that really is not from God. Because God says, lay down your life for her. And the first thing that we would love for you to understand is, even though you do not understand us, the word says, dwell with us with understanding and do not be harsh with us. And when your wife suddenly starts crying, and I know for a lot of men it is like, oh, she's crying again, and why is she crying? And you know, what must I do? How can I fix it? How can I fix you? I want to fix you. What must I do? But there's something that my husband understood almost from the very beginning, and I'm so grateful. He just understood that he just needs to love me like Christ loved the church. You don't have to ask a zillion questions to be able to find a million solutions. You just need to be there and hold her and make her feel better. That's not so hard. And you need to develop the ability. And really, you can come and ask my husband. He's got that ability. And I trust that more men will develop that ability to listen to all the jabber, 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 jabber that she's speaking and try and make sense of, try and find, it's like a journey that you take in that conversation. Try and find what is it that she's really telling you. And just be patient. Do not be harsh. Just love her. You know, and mostly when a wife is so vulnerable and so needy, you don't really have to say that much. You can just hold her and love her and say, honey, can I bring you a cup of coffee? Would you like a cup of tea? Just be there for her. And this has got nothing to do with sex. Can I just make that clear? When a wife feels needy and vulnerable, you cannot fix it with sex. Ah, please. You know, there's nothing worse than the wife crying and then you're holding her because now she's crying and then you end up touching her and, you know. Just, you know. That's not... And that will bring me to the next point just now. But if there's something that I think women would love for men to understand, it is just the fact that we are extremely vulnerable. And we do really yearn after you. And we really want to please you. So when we say, do I look fat in this? The classic example that is the cliche. Do I look fat in this? She really is asking, do you love me the way that I am right now? Men, can you just get that? Okay. That's what she's asking. She's asking, do you love me the way that I am right now? So the answer to that, the answer to the question is, do I look fat in this? You are dying to know what the answer is. The answer is, honey, I love you so much. You could walk naked. You could walk in anything. I wouldn't care because you look beautiful to me. And no, of course you do not look fat in that. Or you can try and be diplomatic and say, that red little dress looks even more beautiful. You know? But the thing that we constantly need to know, we constantly, and if you don't get it, it comes from the Bible. God said we will yearn after our husbands. We will desire them. I don't think it was referring to a sexual desire. I really don't think, okay? It's a constant need to know that we are good enough. Ladies, do you agree with me? A constant need to know, as I am right now, are you still happy with me? That's why you need to tell her, ever so often, I love you. I appreciate you. And we need to know that we are doing well, especially when we become mothers. We have this mysterious, desperate need to hear from our husbands the following words, you are a good mother. That's just the way it is. We constantly need to know that we are, because we constantly doubt that, because motherhood will challenge you more than anything have ever challenged you. And you constantly need to hear, I am a good mother. and I am still good to you. And even though I had all these babies and, you know, nothing is the same than it was, you still love me and you still enjoy me the way that you did. And if a man can cover his wife's nakedness in that sense where he understands her vulnerability, and even if he doesn't understand it, in obedience to the word, he's not harsh with her. And understanding that, and that's another thing, women are so unique. You know, yesterday when Anton was speaking about the flowers, and I was just thinking about how every woman is a different kind of flower. We smell different, we look different, we feel different, and we have different needs. And like I said to the singles yesterday evening, you know, I love flowers in a garden. I don't particularly enjoy it in the house. And to be honest with you, I hate arranging them. Even if I just have to do this, I start sneezing, and then I have to change the water every day, and I don't like that. And if people ever give me flowers, ever, I'm slightly little bit irritated with the fact that I've got to carry it home, put it in a vase, change the water, arrange it. So, you know, if my husband brings me flowers, my first thought is, you don't know me. It goes much deeper than the flowers. My first thought is, if you really loved me, you would know me. And you would give me something that I could really, because it's not about the gift, it's about the fact that you know me. And because you know me, you know what to give me. And you are giving this to me for me, not because you want something, just because for me, because you understand what, and it is amazing what it does to a woman. You know, I spoke to a friend the other day and she said, my husband picked a flower on his way back from work out of somebody's garden. He stole it, one flower. And she said it was so precious. Now, for me, I really have a thing for chocolate, especially nougat, especially if it's Sally Williams or Woolies, real nougat. And, you know, when my husband comes home with that, it really, I have a sense that you know me and you love me and you understand me. Now, here's a tip, guys. My husband made this mistake in the beginning of our marriage. For some women, and I'm speaking about the love languages, because women are different from men. Generally, and this really is, we are generalizing here because we cannot speak to individuals. We are all different. But let's speak, is it okay to just speak generally as it is for most couples? Generally for the men, the way that they really feel most loved and appreciated is through sexual intimacy. For women, it is not necessarily like that. I'm going to speak about it just now. But women have specific little things that are important to them, which we call their love language. Now, men have love language as well. But I get the sense that it's almost more important for a man to understand to understand a woman's love language, because that is the way to open her heart to have sexual intimacy with her. And for some women, it is quality time, for a lot of them. For some women, it is physical touch. They want to be touched and nurtured the whole day. They like it if you touch their hair, and you know, you hold their hand, and you put your... Some women don't like that. I have a friend, if her husband touches her hair, she goes like, oh. She doesn't like it. She doesn't. Physical touch is not her love language at all. You know, I try to imagine them. Anyway, I think it's quite a challenge for him. I'm sure she's different in that way. But, you know, for some it is flowers. For some it is take me away for a weekend. For some it is, will you cook this evening? Whatever it may be. But men, for your own benefit, hear me today. For your own benefit, for your own desire to have regular sexual intimacy with your wife, find the thing that makes her feel unique. Find the thing that makes her feel special and do that thing. My husband, and at the beginning of our marriage, he would give me lingerie for my birthday, because that's what he wanted me to have. He wanted me to have lingerie because I find it terribly uncomfortable, so it's a challenge for me to wear it, especially some of it. you know, it's like lace, and it's lace scratches the skin. And so he would give me, you know, and my first thought would be, this is not a gift for me. This is a gift for yourself. It does nothing for me. I don't get a kick out of wearing it. You get a kick when I wear it. So why don't you buy it when it's your birthday? Buy it. But I don't want lingerie for my birthday. I want to go out with you and eat with you and have FaceTime with you and spend quality time with you. And that would be a much greater gift. Lingerie is quite expensive. You could do a lot of other things with that money. And, you know, men tend to think, I found quite, and I guess women as well, but, you know, don't speak your own love language with your wife and think that it is going to work. Find out what her love language is. Do you know how you find that out? You ask her. You don't have to use 10 years to discover the mystery. You can really just today, just ask her today. Love, what is your love language? And let be for a change, be open for her to tell you, when you do this and buy this, it really irritates me. It means nothing. It's nice that you do it, but you don't have to do it anymore. Rather, do this and that and the other. Because it's beneficial for everybody, because a wife who feels loved and appreciated can give herself to her husband, like Anton said. She can give herself emotionally to her husband. So, this is my advice. Ask her. She can even write it down. She can send you an email. She can SMS it. She can BB it. Or she can tell it to you right there and then to your face. But ask her what she wants. Because, you know, we sometimes have this idea that marriage is, we must keep the mystery. And then I'm not going to ask. I'm going to, like, find out. You know, I don't like surprises very much. Because I want to be, if 30 people is going to rock up at my house unexpectedly, I want to, you know, because the way that I look at home is not very acceptable in public, you know, tracksuit pants and socks, and I don't comb my hair on a Saturday morning because, you know, I don't feel like doing it on a Saturday, and I'm just at home. And, and so I need to know when people are coming. I need to know if there's going to be a baby tea or a kitchen tea. And if my husband plans a whole thing and suddenly out of the blue he says, get into the car, honey, we are going now. I want to know, but who's looking after the children? Did you organize that? I don't like being surprised. So I would prefer it to know, and it could take my husband potentially 5 years to discover this, and it could save us 5 years of having a better marriage where whatever you do is a blessing unto me and whatever I do is a blessing unto you. Let's keep the mystery for other things. Yes, obviously there will be surprises. Obviously there will be. I'm not making rules here. My point that I am making is discover how your wife, and it goes vice versa. But the point that I'm trying to drive here today is, men, if you want that regular sexual intimacy with your wife, find the thing that makes her feel, that celebrates her uniqueness and her love language. And she will gladly give herself to you. And let me say this, and if you can remember this for future reference, those who do not have children yet, and if you have children, obviously you will know, don't expect your wife, really, to be with this baby at home all day, especially if the baby is still under 3 months, and cook, and have the house kind of neat and clean, and then come home from a hard day's work ready to have lovely, adventurous sex at night. I promise you, it is not going to work. You need to come home and take that baby and help with the food and give her a break and understand that she's vulnerable and understand that she didn't sleep much last night and rub her feet and kiss her and tell her she's still beautiful even though the makeup went and the lovely dresses went and she's not back into her clothes yet. And after all of that, maybe she will be able to bless you and give herself to you, because everything changes after children. And the sooner we can get this right, the sooner she will become what you want her to be again. When it comes to children, do not think for one second you don't need to help her and then expect her to be all lovey-dovey when the opportunity arises. It does not work like that, men. When your wife has a baby, one thing changes for you. You have a child. Everything changes for her. Everything. Her body, her vulnerability, her heart's condition, her hair. Some women have curly hair and suddenly it goes straight. Some lose their hair. Everything changes. Her schedule, her sleep, her diet. Can you hear me, men? Please. Everything changes. You cannot for one second think things can go back to normal. There's a new normal. Okay? You need to find new normal. Remember this today. I look at couples. I see those where the men get this and they help and it is amazing. And where the men don't get this and they don't help and that marriage almost falls apart. So that wife is vulnerable. Okay, but let's move on to the wait, how much time do I have? Okay. I want to read to you Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 28. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Listen to this. In the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. Now I did speak quite a bit about sexual intimacy just now, but I want to speak a little bit more. And there's something that I want to say. Men, you are listening, hey? You're still listening to me, okay? Your wife has a great need for sexual intimacy, just like you, okay? Most of us. It may not be as physical to her, and it may not be as often for her, but that kind of intimacy, that kind of coming together is extremely important to her. And I think all of us have noticed, all of us who've been married for longer than 3 months, I guess, would have noticed that when we neglect our sexual intimacy, we become edgy and we become irritated and there's misunderstanding and we miss each other, there's miscommunication and everything that goes with that. Because ultimately, when we have sexual intimacy, it is the time when we come together and everything else fades away. The children, even the children fade away. That is amazing. The children, the children, the in-laws, the financial problems, the work problems. It is just you and me coming together and experiencing a kind of pleasure that we cannot experience with anybody else in any other relationship, just the two of us. It is extremely important. But for a woman, we really cannot have sex and enjoy it if we feel neglected. The guys really need to understand this, because to us, it is extremely emotional to men and women, and sometimes I think it is more emotional to men, because like Anton explained, just the link between a man's ego and the way that sex makes him feel. But for a woman, it is that place of security. It really is that place of, yeah, I am safe. And if she does not feel safe and secure, she will not be able to give herself. I want to tell you what happened with me and Anton, and we really had to work through that. Anton used to go on mission trips quite a bit, and he would be away for 2, sometimes 3 weeks, And then on those mission trips, it's always a challenge to, now it's easier, but those days it was not as easy with all the social networks and things. And many times just contacting me while he was on the mission trip would be quite a challenge. Because he would have to get a different SIM card, and he would have to change money, and he would have to get to a shop, and it's in remote places. And it would be a challenge to make contact with me. But I sort of didn't really get that. And I expected him, while he was away, to contact me. And he would, like, phone me maybe once or twice, at the most 3 times a week. And I would feel extremely neglected. And one particular time, he came back from a mission trip, and he really missed me, and he was so excited with everything that God did. And he was really looking forward to us coming together again and having sexual intimacy again. And when we finally came together after about 3 weeks, I said the following to him, and this was a devastation to our marriage. I said to him, "You only want me for sex. Because you are away for 3 weeks. You hardly ever phone me. I hear nothing from you. That means you don't care about me. You only care about your sexual need." Whew! That was a bad one for our relationship. I think that was probably the most hurtful thing I ever said to him. And I realized afterwards where that thing came from. It came from that deep need. And I was in the wrong, and I had to repent. And we trusted God, and God restored us completely. But I realized that it came from that deep need for me to know, you want sex with me because you love me. So men, if you come back from work and you are irritated and you need your cave experience where you need to go into your cave, and you know, that is okay. And I will speak to the ladies about these things when we are alone. And I'm going to attempt to teach them how to be super wife. Not that I am, but God can speak through broken vessels. So I believe he will speak through me. But there's something that you just need to understand. She needs to know that tonight when we are coming together, I am doing this because I love you and I care for you. Because she's very aware of your physical need. She's very aware. And if you don't give the necessary love and attention and listen to her, and I know you cannot always listen to us, but just try, you know, most of the times, then she's not going to feel safe. And to us, that sexual intimacy experience is about feeling safe and feeling secure and feeling that this is the place where I can be naked and not ashamed. And when we speak about naked and not ashamed, it is by far not only a physical thing. You know, I am naked to my husband in every regard. He knows every weakness. He knows everything that I do and that I say and that nobody else knows. He knows me at my worst and he knows me at my best. He sees me when I scream at the kids, when I throw my tantrums, when I break down for no good reason whatsoever. Whatever it may be, he knows it, and vice versa. We are completely naked. And we really need to feel safe in that nakedness. And when we come together, I need to feel I'm safe with you. And let's move on then to exclusivity. This is my second last one. And this is extremely important, men. And Anton slightly touched on this when he said men are more daring and women want privacy and exclusivity. I told the crowd last night, they were quite shocked by the fact that I told them. And afterwards, I really regretted telling them, thinking I should have kept this for the marrieds. But now maybe you can edit that out when you edit it. But I told them, you know, and I'm going to tell you as well, but, you know, you are married, so it's different. But I told them that Anton always had this desire to have sex on the beach and sex on the mountain and, you know, like adventurous out there. I should never have told this to the singles. Anyway, it's water under the bridge. Oh, I was so embarrassed. Anyway, you know, and you know, I entered into the marriage. We were both never did it before marriage, which was such a blessing. But I entered really wanting privacy and safe and there's something that obviously we grow in these things and we learn to find each other in that, and now we sort of are a little bit more adventurous, but not as adventurous as he would maybe want it to be. But we need to understand, men, you need to understand that your wife, mostly, most wives, not all of them, but most wives really have a need for privacy. You know, when the people are visiting, they would quite often not want to have sexual intimacy. We have people all the time, so we can't be like that. But, you know, and you need to understand another thing. There's a thing with exclusivity. It is a great need, a great desperate need almost in every woman's heart. She wants to know that she knows that she knows you only have eyes for me. I am your dream. I am your fantasy. I am, and even if I am not, you know, what I am is good enough for you. We get extremely insecure if we sense that your love and your attention on us is not exclusive. I'm not speaking about being insecure. You know, I'm always trying to get Anton to tell me, who do you think is the prettiest girl in church? And or there's a lady walking and I say, wow, she's pretty, eh? And he's very reserved in telling me really what he thinks, because he's very careful to not hurt my feelings. But I'm so secure. I am extremely secure in this relationship. I never doubt the fact that I am his first love and his only love and the only object of his attention. I have no insecurity. So it's easy for me to say, wow, don't you think that girl's pretty? Or I wish my legs looked like that, or my hair, whatever, you know. Some of us really want, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, I have to be careful. But, you know, it is extremely important for your wife to feel that you only have eyes for her. We've got good friends. And and the lady told me that, she said to me, I'm telling you now, what's that girl that sings, Nia Nell's sister? Rihanna Nell, do you know her? Rihanna Nell. She says to me, you know, my husband looks at this girl and she's singing Christian music. And he's like looking at the TV and he's like staring at her. And I'm convinced that he finds her more attractive than he finds me. You know, that's just, and she's insecure about it. Now, this is like a, you know, he's never going to meet this woman, or, but it makes the wife insecure. So he needs to switch that TV off and not listen to Rihanna Nell's music. Because his wife wants exclusivity, and I'm serious. Because his relationship with his wife is more important than his, whatever he likes about this woman, even though he might never even meet her. And we need to understand, men, you know, we don't mean to be jealous. And, you know, I don't know what jealousy is. I've never experienced it, honestly, not for a second. But we need, it probably is because I understand that I do have all his love and all his attention is mine. And I'm so secure in that. And that whole thing that Anton said, oh, you were not there yesterday. Gaan jy oor die kroon praat? Net met die mans. Anton is, sorry, I don't want to spoil it now, but he refers to the crown. That is the word says the wife is the husband's crown, and the husband needs to look after his crown. And I really want to say that if you want your crown to be the biggest and the best and the most beautiful, you need to give her your exclusive attention. And I'm not speaking about jealousy or insecurity. I'm speaking about a healthy kind of exclusivity. You understand what I'm referring to. Okay, the last thing. What we really have a need for, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2 and 7. It speaks about what a bishop or an overseer or a deacon or an elder in church should be like. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. Listen to this, men. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. verse 7, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. There's a lot there about what somebody that takes a man that takes a leadership position. This is what this is about. But I want to speak about leadership. And men, listen to me. Women want leadership. That's why Anton said, if you abuse your privileged access that you have into a man's heart, some men just take a step back and they become almost like cowards. Sorry for the word. And then they don't lead anymore. And listen this morning, whoever your wife is, however strong her personality is, because some women really have strong personalities, she needs leadership. And listen to this and listen well. She'd rather you make decisions and you make the wrong decisions than not making any decision at all. Can we say this again? She needs leadership. She does not expect you to be perfect. Some men think, I must be perfect. And they think, if I make a wrong decision, I'm a bad leader. That is nonsense. We all make mistakes. She does not care. If she cares for every mistake, she should go to God and sort out her heart. But she needs a man who stands up and says, this is what we are going to do, and this is how we are going to do it. And then she needs to submit. And don't worry, I'm going to speak to the ladies about submission just now in the next session. But we need to, men, just understand this. Just hear me this morning. We need leadership. And we married you because we saw in you that kind of leadership. And it says here, a bishop must be able to teach. You did this resolution thing that Andre has hanging in his house. Who of you did it? Okay. Where the men like committed to what they are going to, their resolves. And I really want to speak about that this morning. You need to lead your wife and lead your children. And you need to teach them. And you need to hear from God. It is not her responsibility. It is your responsibility to get the direction from God. And if you make a mistake, no problem. Just do it. Hear from God and come back to your wife and say, this is what I believe we should do. This is the direction that we should take. This is how we are going to raise our children. This is what I want you to do. In this house we do this and we don't do that. It must not come from the wife. I see too many households in church where it comes from the wife. A wife like that does not feel like any kind of intimacy because she's operating out of her anointing and it wears her down and she is exhausted. Take leadership. A man that provides for his family is a good man. Whether he brings in 10,000 or 100,000 per month, it doesn't matter. When he provides for his family, when he teaches his children in God's ways, when he disciplines his children, you need to give leadership. She needs to respect you. Can I tell you something? I've seen this too many times. It is extremely hard. It takes a miracle for a wife to respect a husband who does not give leadership. She needs to find supernatural strength from God to respect that man. I've seen it so many times. But you stand up and understand this, men. When you are weak, you are strong. You give leadership. You are anointed to give leadership to your wife and your children. God has anointed you to do it. You stand up by faith, whether you feel strong or not, whether you think you have what it takes or not, besides the point. God says, I will make you strong. I will make a way. A wife who sees her husband, if I see my husband is putting his trust in God, I am so secure. If I see he's putting his trust in himself, it really throws me because I know it's going to fail us because he's just human. We need to understand that our wives and children need leadership. And men, you get that from God. And if your wife has to take up that role, it is reversed roles and it is very, very heart. Okay. Amen. Shall we pray again? Are there any questions? I feel this is such a high point, and what now? Let's pray. Father, I want to pray over every man that is sitting here, God. And Father, even as they are going to have their own session just with the men, Father. But God, now I want to pray for them, Father. Father, I pray that every man that is here, even those who could not be here, every man in this church, Father, will stand up as the leader of their homes, Father. And Father, leading in a way that their wives and their children can follow them. Father, I pray that they will be loving husbands, Father, dwelling with their wives with understanding, Father. Father, I pray, God, that this church and the marriages in this church and the men in this church will become such an example to this town, God, that this church will truly become like the city on the hill that cannot be hidden, and people will flock here in the name of Jesus to have what they have. And Father, I pray that the men in this church will raise up more and more and more men to become like them as they are becoming like you, laying down their lives for their wives. Father, we pray for every wife here, God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that she will meet her husband's needs, that she will respect him, that she will love him, Father, and that she will believe in him. And God, ultimately, that through every marriage represented here and those who could not be here, ultimately, God, that your kingdom will come for the sake of those who are going lost. In the name of Jesus. Amen.